From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
You are always welcome here at ABQ Connect. Thanks to our engineer, Jared. He'll be prepared if you've got a phone call you want to make to, let us know what your thoughts on various topics that we cover each day. So if we strike a nerve and you want to join in, ask a question, primarily that, ask a question. We're looking to get the information we need to do what we do better. But the phone number is 505-338-5790. And you can text questions to 505-585-LIVE, which is 585-5483. And with that, we welcome Paul Gessing of the Rio Grande Foundation into studio. Paul, you kind of remind me of the Energizer Bunny. Every time I see you, you're doing something and learning something and communicating and so much appreciate the time you take to bring us up to speed on various issues and things that we as members of this community need to consider. So thanks for being here.
Well, we certainly try to bring information that's needed for the citizens of the state of New Mexico and Albuquerque. And, sometimes that's not always great or fun information to bring to bear. We try to be honest and, gospel-based, limited government-based, working within, the scope of humanity and trying to improve the way we live our lives and treat other people across New Mexico, across the city, et cetera, et cetera. And, we obviously had a big election that just happened on Tuesday.
Yeah, and we're going to actually, I want to tease this tomorrow on ABQ Connect, the final portion of the show, a financial update from John Moore Associates. What's going on in the market today? Does that have to do with the election or is it more the Fed? We'll take a closer look at that and talk about it tomorrow on ABQ Connect. But Paul, as you mentioned, looking back to the election, let me say this, and I mentioned it a little bit on yesterday's show. Quite honestly, Paul, and I don't know if you're running into the same situation. I've talked to a few people that are almost distraught over the results, not only in New Mexico, but as they look at the election map nationwide, and they look at what they believe is going on in Arizona, and hopes for what might happen in Georgia in December. I've had to remind myself and a couple of people. One person who said to me, America's got to get, let's save America. And, elections aren't going to necessarily do that. I mean, the belief here is that, Jesus is the answer. And honestly, we've even talked about other subjects, where we see, those bad lists that New Mexico are so much on the top of. The changes that could happen in families, they may not have an immediate impact in some of those things we're seeing in New Mexico right now, but certainly in maybe the coming months, years, certainly generations or just the next generation could see a great impact, if we would apply biblical principles, to the things we do in our families, in our lives. What we saw on Tuesday and Wednesday, mm-hmm. Thoughts. Let's take a quick review.
Well, first and foremost, while I do agree with your ultimate statement that, we need a restoration of faith and human dignity in New Mexico, the reason I got into public policy is I believe that, people, have opportunities at the voting booth. Yep. To enhance and improve and make easier the case for human dignity and individual kind of self-fulfillment and being, one with your God and your best self at the same time. And then there's other policies that lead us in a opposite direction. And, you know, obviously the issue of abortion, I'll just jump in to the issues.
Yeah.
That's not one that's in line with a lot of religious teachings and spiritual, approaches to life and self betterment. You know, and it became a very, very big issue in this campaign here in New Mexico, across the country.
I would agree.
I think it was even bigger. It wound up being bigger than a lot of the polling right before the election led on. You saw a lot of Republicans looking at a prospective red wave based on the polling numbers, and it wound up being barely a red trickle nationwide. In New Mexico, we were already in a blue wave status, and it took us into further blue wave. So the abortion issue, and you know, that is definitely one that crosses those lines between the spiritual and the godly, and the, you know, policy realm. It happens to be one that Rio Grande Foundation doesn't engage with. So it was more frustrating for us to watch, while I believe that the vast majority of Americans are, and New Mexicans are, with us on the basic issues that we care about, the economy, education system, and reforming those and freeing them. Abortion became a real top-tier issue, and you could see the amount of money the Democratic Party poured into those ads and how big of an issue they made it. So I do think that is probably the single overriding issue. Others, certainly former President Trump, both his personality and the election denial issue, I think that actually impacted GOP turnout, but also nobody turns out the Democratic vote like President Trump. And, you know, you can love him, you can dislike him, but the fact is that not only did Trump loom large over this election, but his candidates nationwide performed quite poorly relative to other similar races. For example, Dr. Oz, of course, lost to John Fetterman in the Senate race. That was something that, you know, it was a Trump candidate. Georgia, in terms of Herschel Walker, probably heading to a runoff to determine control of the U.S. Senate. So,
right. And Arizona, my understanding is, probably won't even hear anything about that till tomorrow or Monday.
Right.
And actually, I heard, I think it was Jace, I was listening to Jace Heculo yesterday, and it's like, what do you mean? You know, it was a listener who called in and said Friday or Monday. And it's like, well, what's wrong with Saturday and Sunday? how come, you know, why are we shutting down? And why, you know, and then of course we saw, the same things happen as far as, machines malfunctioning. You know, you'd think in 2 years they'd fix that issue in Arizona. It's interesting. Well, I guess if it's the same machines, they just, I don't know.
Yeah. And that's not my knowledge base there. But I will, you know, JD Vance, another Trump, related candidate there in Ohio.
Oh, right. Right.
He won, but, much less of a margin than,
you're right. It wasn't the red wave that everyone, everyone talked about. However, my understanding is, the House, you know, it's certainty, right? That,
the House, I believe, will be in Republican hands, probably 10 votes or so differentiating.
Which will change these
absolutely
next 2 years.
So I'm not, nationwide, nationally speaking, I'm not a, you know, Debbie Downer. I'm not hugely disappointed, although it was a much different election night than I expected. Now, in terms of New Mexico, you know, like I said, we were pretty blue beforehand with, you know, Democrats up and down, the offices that the state has, the only one being Yvette Harrell in Congress District 2 that, they redistricted into a much tougher district. And Yvette Harrell put up a very good fight, but is going to lose or lost to Gabe Vasquez, a very hard left, progressive, kind of chaos sowing, individual. And that's deeply disappointing to a lot of folks. Cause Yvette Harrell was a friend of Liberty and, a lot of, you know, good issues that she supported. And, So yeah, New Mexico is very, very blue, and that's very challenging right now and will be for a few years because, you know, whatever happens at the national level, and you understand that abortion issue was lingering out there, you have to understand that Trump and his individual persona was out there along with the election issue and denial and whether it's a valid election and whether you should show up to vote, that kind of thing.
Yes, you should.
You should. Yeah, absolutely. but, you know, this is a state that struggles mightily on all manner of policy outcomes. We're a state that has the most beautiful weather among all the states, arguably.
Yeah.
We're in a physically beautiful location, not just here in Albuquerque, but around much of the state where it's very, very pretty and a nice place to live. And, you know, you have a lot of states around us, like Arizona, like Utah, like Colorado. And even though it's not particularly pretty, Texas is a state that does very well because of their kind of free market emphasis economically. And you look as a New Mexican around at these states, and it's not just, you know, who's got more wealthy people, whose money, you know, who's got more money, who's got more jobs, but all of the social ills that we face here in Albuquerque have to do with all of the policies that we've put into place over the last several decades. You know, everything from the, you know, alcoholism rates to the child abuse rate, all of those have direct results from the dependency that we have on welfare, the lack of self-esteem, the lack of education, the lack of purpose in people's lives. So that's where, in my view, the rubber truly hits the road and where, you know, Calvary Church and the people here can push back against some of the social ills we face.
And let me say this, because and the church in the body of Christ in general, you say Calvary, and I appreciate that. But you know, being a megaphone to the Christian community, can make a big difference. I think part of the problem, Paul, and you might know better than I, and we've mentioned it before, is the lack of involvement just in getting out to pull the lever. It's a little, and I don't know, I don't have any stats for this election, but just historically, the percentage of Christians that are registered and then those that actually participate.
Turns out, you know, 52 or so percent of New Mexicans voted. I haven't seen that broken down further. That is somewhat lower than the 2018 number. And I agree, to the extent that you can get certain subgroups, and I think Christians are a great group to really activate and get out to the polls, then that's a group that should be focused on. But in general, a lot of it boils down to issues and whether people think that they support one candidate or the other and that their vote matters and they want to get out and spend the time. And we all should, absolutely. Voter turnout should be 100%, not from some law that says you have to go vote, but just because you should do what, you know, do this as a citizenship duty. You should also be educated on the issues, and you should follow at least somewhat, preferably in print, as opposed to, certainly on the radio, you get a more robust conversation. My point is not television. Television is not a great medium for consuming balanced and robust information.
Yeah. And we're going to go to a break here in just a minute. One of the things I did want to mention as we wrap up our discussion about what we saw happen on Tuesday and the results on Wednesday. I was, again, watching some talking heads on TV and looking at, for those who are looking for a red wave in a strong way, and look at Florida and see what DeSantis and others did there. One of the things they mentioned is how many people had left New York to go to Florida because they were dealing with the things happening in such a blue state. Mm-hmm. We need to encourage some people that are the people who are tired of what they're seeing in other places to move to New Mexico. You know, I've thought too, as over the last couple of years, as we've seen the exit of California and exiting New York, going other places, it's even been said, well, hopefully, the problems that they found in those states, they don't move to other states and just continue, the insanity. And I say insanity in that, the same thing happens over and over and you keep doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But you know, what the possibility of New Mexico changing just because, like you said, Paul, and I was talking to a friend this week, actually it was one of my kids, my grown kids, just the beauty of New Mexico. It's a beautiful place to be. There's just so many issues that need to be dealt with, and it is possible to see change. And we need to be praying for that, and we need to be acting to be a part of the change.
Yep, and look forward to having that conversation with you here shortly.
All right, we're going to go to a break. We'll come back with more. Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation on ABQ Connect.
Towns Hair Service is located in West Downtown on the corner of Central and 12th. They aim to create a culture of creativity, collaboration, and care. They're accepting new clients and specialize in both color and cuts. They're looking to add stylists and barbers to their team who want to serve the people of Albuquerque, a city they love. More information at townshop.co. That's townshop.co. Thank you, Towns Hair Service, for your support of KLYT 88.3 FM, The Light of New Mexico.
Nothing says Christmas like a water buffalo. No, really. For a poor family in Asia, getting a water buffalo is like getting a farm tractor to pull a plow, or getting a milk truck full of delicious milk, or getting a stand in the market to sell cheese. When you donate a water buffalo to a poor family in Asia, you open the door for them to provide work, food, and income. More importantly, you open the door for them to hear about Jesus. It's a special gift your family will long remember, and a family in Asia will never forget. So if you want your family to do something truly meaningful this Christmas, bless another family with a water buffalo, and you can change their lives forever. Nothing says Christmas better than that. To join KLYT and take part in the Critter Campaign, go to gfaminute.org and click on the Critter Campaign. That's gfaminute.org and click on the Critter Campaign.
Sometimes at night I would look up at the stars and say, "Oh Lord, you know the way of all these stars, but you have forgotten your children in Corey and Bessie." But at those moments, and when the very worst happened, he was always there to remind us. No, he had not turned away his face.
The stage presentation of Corey Remembers, featuring Susan Sondager, a free event, Wednesday night, November 16th at 6:30. Details at calvarynm.church.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There is still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. I'm Steve Ryman, and Paul Gessing is in studio with us. So Paul comes in about every month, four to six weeks to update us on local issues that you should be aware of. And by the way, a great resource if you have not been there, RioGrandeFoundation.org. I was actually on there today, Paul, with some of the links that you sent from heirsofenchantment.com. And I want to say this, not only was the information great, but the ability to access that information and print that information in a printer-friendly format was really nice, too.
Well, I appreciate that. And, yeah, RioGrandeFoundation.org, heirsofenchantment.com. We're a nonpartisan nonprofit dealing with New Mexico public policy issues. Our goal is free markets, individual liberty, and we work on issues in the economic realm, trying to make New Mexico a bastion of freedom and prosperity in the Southwest. I talked about some of the social ills that we wind up with here in New Mexico because we have dependency and a lot of people who unfortunately just don't have, I think, very much going for them. And unfortunately, a lot of the policies contribute to that. And then the education system, which of course is integral to improving your life outcomes up and down the income scale. Whether you're a high earner wanting to do more, education can be a part of that, or whether you're somebody just trying to get a foothold in the job market and maybe be the first in your family to get to college or graduate high school or whatever. All of the above are important, and that's why we focus on those issues.
And, Paul, before we move forward and look at the report card, the recent report card for education nationwide and where New Mexico falls on that, anything else on the election you wanted to mention before we move on?
Well, New Mexico just it did move in a very blue direction. There's no question about that. Some of the issues, especially that trickle down nationally, had an impact on that. But we are at the Rio Grande Foundation going to continue to do what we do, educating people on the issues. I think these are winning issues. They were just swamped by, look, I'm glad Roe v. Wade was overturned. I think that was right, not just on a moral basis, but on a constitutional reading
right.
basis, because obviously we care a lot about the U.S. Constitution and what that says. And it stinks because while we're happy with that, it did have, I believe, very detrimental impacts in the election. And this was an election where here in New Mexico, we had, I believe, a real opportunity. This governor was locking people down without real evidence that that was working, closing businesses, and deeply impacting, again, our children and the educational outcomes that they had, and not just educational outcomes, but social outcomes, acculturation and socializing. And I have three kids. I raised them here in New Mexico, but, like anybody who has children in this state, you expect that they will find greener pastures outside the state because there's a lot fewer of those social ills. And if they have a head on their shoulders, we believe that they will probably go elsewhere. And, that's a bridge right now we're not ready to cross. My oldest is 12, but this education system problem is something that should be 1A on the list of issues that Governor Lujan Grisham addresses, but she most likely won't. So we're kind of going to be stuck in this unfortunate position. And the NAEP scores, the National Assessment of Educational Progress, the results came out in the middle of October, and they were just frankly horrific. Now, these are the first of these test scores. They're given to a statistically representative sample of students all across the country. The last test was given in 2019. They switched, obviously shifted it a year due to COVID, and the results are terrible. They're bad enough for everybody, but as you might imagine, New Mexico tends to be at the bottom of these lists when it comes to education. They test fourth grade math, fourth grade reading, eighth grade math, eighth grade reading. In New Mexico, which tends to be towards the bottom, now is at the very bottom in all of those areas. We're at the bottom below, Washington, D.C. So we're not 50th, we're 51st. We're not only, again, under Washington, D.C. Now, the highest performing group in the entire index is the Department of Defense schools. So technically, 52 jurisdictions studied, New Mexico, 52nd. And, as somebody who believes this is arguably the very most important issue facing New Mexico, it is deeply personally frustrating to see these results. It's not the first time we've seen them, and it won't be the last time we see them, because the political leadership in Santa Fe just has no interest in changing the dynamic of our education system. So, people vote for what they're getting, and they kind of deserve it. And so these results are posted at heirsofenchantment.com. Certainly the pandemic had a big impact. It's tough to prove that they were directly, that every state that locked down for a long time did poorly, and every state that did not lock down for long or at all did well. COVID hit everybody, but we knew at the Rio Grande Foundation that New Mexico was going to be disproportionately impacted for a number of reasons. One, we don't have a parental population that is well-equipped and educated at the level to help kids in a time of need. If you have highly educated professional adults in the house, you have more of those opportunities. We have to rebuild our families here in New Mexico, and this is one tangible way that it showed up. The other is we don't have great broadband. We're a spread out state that doesn't have great connectivity with the IT, and that was the way that people were having to learn. You saw pictures in the newspaper during the pandemic of kids with their parent, normally their mom, sitting outside of a school that had a Wi-Fi signal, and that is not a good way to learn. Now, again, you ask me about these issues, I say that is unacceptable, and you've got to vote against the people that put that in place. We just had a chance to do that, and they restored her to 4 more years, and it's incredibly frustrating because, again, I have kids. We went from being in a public school to being in a parochial school after a year of homeschooling because of what this governor did in terms of shutting down the economy.
Yeah, one of the things we've been doing all year, Paul, is featuring a local private school, not necessarily, not because of those schools in particular, but to encourage our listeners to consider an alternative to what's being offered publicly and provide that information to them. A couple of the things that stuck out to me with the information you sent. Iowa was one of those places where 90, and I looked this up, on the chart that you sent, Iowa was one of the better rated schools, mm-hmm. or, states with fourth grade, eighth grade math and reading. 91% of the students in school there graduate from high school. I believe that may be the highest. I got that according to usnews.com. And I don't know if this had anything to do with it, but and I don't know if they even still do it. When I was a kid, and I don't know if when you were a kid, we had what was called Iowa testing.
Yep.
Kind of wonder how much of whatever, I don't even know if that was the name of a company or if it actually came from Iowa, but it kind of got, it kind of was a meter for how the students are doing, with, what they're getting at that time. And that may be actually something similar to this test. One of the things that, you mentioned in your blog that I thought was significant, about the, do you call it NAEP? Is that how you?
NAEP, yes.
Okay. Was unlike the test the state administers, NAEP doesn't change when the new administration takes over. I'm quoting you, Paul, takes over. So it is a much better measure of educational performance over time. I think that's important.
Yeah. And, that is a critical factor here. And, it's one of the unfortunate things about the state administered test. I'm not too familiar with what was done, if anything, under Bill Richardson, but Susana Martinez, when she came in, the previous administration was there for 8 years, a Republican. She had a test that was administered at the state level, and that was how they, tried to offer A, B, C, D grades for, schools and for even teachers. And, it was deeply unpopular with a lot of folks in the education system. I think it was mishandled, quite frankly.
Well, wasn't her entire plan that she proposed shot down in the roundhouse?
It was. They were able to administratively do a few of the things, being that she is the governor and in charge of the public education department, and that entity still has power. But the moment that Michelle Lujan Grisham, remember she was running, 4 years ago, against Steve Pierce, the Republican, and both of them campaigned in that race on tossing out the testing regime and the ranking system. And there was multiple parts to it. Third grade social promotion was another. If you can't read by third grade, you need to be held back so you can learn how to read. The teachers' unions vehemently opposed that. There were a lot of conflicts between Susana Martinez, her education secretary, Hannah Scandera, and the Democrats, the union-controlled Democrats in the New Mexico legislature. So, and then when obviously Michelle Lujan Grisham 4 years ago beat Pierce, that led to the test being thrown out. But then COVID happened, and the that testing regime even was delayed. And so we were hearing some pretty horrific results from the statewide test, but there was no context to them. We were just trying to compare them against a different test offered a few years prior by Susana Martinez. So the NAEP test, I have results posted, and we're going to compare New Mexico and Mississippi on fourth grade reading in a few minutes. I have them posted back to 2009. I know the test goes back even further than that. I think it goes back as far as the late 90s in terms of the National Assessment of Educational Progress. And it's something that we always cite because graduation rates can be manipulated. State tests get changed. The NAEP scores really represent, I think, the best overall understanding of what's happening in our schools. And yeah, like I said, it wasn't just in New Mexico, but COVID really had devastating impacts across our country, but especially here in New Mexico.
Well, we're up against the break. And as Paul mentioned, when we come back, we'll do some of that comparison between Mississippi, who what is just above us on the list, Paul?
No, we're below every state.
Okay,
so
okay.
Mississippi is just a state that has a lot in common with New Mexico.
I say above us as far as they're doing better.
Oh, yes.
We're going to take a look at that. And actually, I want to revisit some of, we mentioned what was going on when Susana Martinez, was overseeing and what was part of that plan that we're seeing, potentially being what's helping some of the top states in the country, perform. We'll get to that and more, with, Paul Gessing of the Rio Grande Foundation right after the break on ABQ Connect.
If you're ready to study God's Word beyond going to church and personal Bible study, you're ready for Calvary College. Take your learning and your life's purpose to the next level with an education in biblical studies. Registration for the 2023 spring term starts October 3rd. Classes happen on-site at Calvary Church Albuquerque and online. Classes like Spiritual Foundations, Personal Evangelism, Theology 2, and Church History 2. Plus, book-specific courses like Daniel, Romans, Acts, 1 Corinthians, and Revelation. Calvary College partners with Veritas International University and Calvary Chapel University so you can earn an accredited undergraduate or graduate degree, or simply increase your knowledge of God and His Word. Your application for the 2023 spring term is available now, and classes start January 9th. Apply today at calvarychurchcollege.com. That's CalvaryChurchCollege.com.
John Chitwood of Southern Boulevard Automotive.
I have towed many vehicles in for repair, with the customer stating the car just stalled while I was driving. After diagnosing it, I've had to make that phone call many times and state to the customer, you're out of gas and you need to refuel. Many Christians are like that. They need to be refueling daily with God's Word in order to keep themselves moving forward and to have the mind of Christ. Dwight L. Moody was once asked why he urged Christians to be filled constantly with the Holy Spirit. He replied, I need continuous infilling because I leak. What gauge do you use in your life to know if you're running on empty of the infill of God's Spirit?
Southern Boulevard Automotive, 2300 Southern Boulevard in Rio Rancho, 892-2300 or southernblvdautomotive.com. Thank you, John Chitwood at Southern Boulevard Automotive, for your support of KLYT 88.3 FM.
At Calvary Southwest with Pastor Ray Montoya, it's our desire to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, souls, and minds, to live out, teach, and walk in the truth of God's Word, and to passionately reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope you'll consider doing this with us. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 and 11, as well as Wednesday nights at 6:30, just across from West Mesa High School on Fortuna. Find more details at calvarysouthwest.com.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There is still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
KLYT, thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. We're right in the middle of a conversation with Paul Gessing of the Rio Grande Foundation. And by the way, I want to remind you, we've said it once on the show, go to the website, riograndefoundation.org, a nonprofit organization that Paul oversees and provides quality content on, including the information he sent me prior to the show today from Errors of Enchantment com. And we started our discussion today with a look back at the election on Tuesday and following the results through Wednesday and today, and what we'll probably see happening with runoffs across the country, including in Georgia, and even just this week, the counting continues in Arizona. However, more local focus on education and some of the ratings that came out recently. That again, you know, shows New Mexico at the very bottom of the list, even, you know, 51st right. District of Columbia included in there. I wonder where we'd rank with Puerto Rico if it became, well, and you said the Department of Defense schools.
Right.
Would that be like a Kirtland Elementary or?
I think it's limited to on base, and okay. I don't know where they draw the line. I'm not familiar enough with those schools.
I went to those schools growing up. That's kind of when I saw that, I wasn't sure exactly what it was, and I didn't look into it. What I did kind of look into, and you mentioned, some of the things that Governor Susana Martinez wanted to try to make happen, with our education system. You mentioned the, grades A through F for grading of schools, and that didn't go over very well. Well, why, you know, I'm sorry. If you don't want to have a poor grade marked on your school, then make a change to make it better. Under the program that she had set up, the graduate, what I found, and I'm open to being corrected if I read this mm-hmm. wrong, but the graduation rate went from 63% to 70%. One of the goals was to have every child read by third grade. That they emphasize pre-K classes and summer instruction. But, you know, whether it's Susana's plan or I did notice New Jersey ranked well recently in their education, and part of what they emphasize is early reading.
Mm-hmm.
And you found some things going on in Mississippi that maybe we need to take note of.
Well, you mentioned the Martinez reforms that, while we talked about them in the last segment, you know, she was able to, this is again, the former governor of New Mexico, a Republican, who we actually, Rio Grande Foundation, brought a reform concept to New Mexico that was implemented in Florida by then Governor Jeb Bush. And, Jeb Bush emphasized early reading and, that was something that was part of Susana Martinez's agenda as well.
I want to be fair about some of what I said too. I forgot to say this. Mm-hmm. The information I got about her plan, I got actually when I did a search, it was on SusanaMartinez.com. So I have to, you know, can that be trusted? Is it spun information? But I thought you would know better than I.
Well, we talked about some of the details of that, stopping social promotion, ranking schools, giving parents more information through the A-through-F grading, really trying to focus resources and teacher training on properly using phonics-based education to teach kids in those early grade levels. The idea being before fourth grade, you're learning to read. After fourth grade, you're reading to learn. And you know, if you don't know how to read in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, you're going to sit in front of a science book or a math problem that's a word problem, and you're not going to know what the heck's going on. And that puts you more than likely on the dropout train to, you know, a lot of challenges in life. And we've already talked about some of those social ills that we have plenty of here in New Mexico. And, you know, a state that often falls into that category is Mississippi. And, you know, there used to be a line that I heard, about Mississippi from a lot of New Mexicans. It was thank God for Mississippi because they, were one of the states that perpetually remained at the bottom of a lot of the indices. Well,
they have a lot of good greasy food.
They do. And, I'm not going to besmirch Mississippi. And especially when we talk about these results, you're going to wish that we had done what Mississippi did. So back in 2011, Mississippi and New Mexico on fourth grade reading were just about even. Mississippi on the NAEP test. And the numbers don't really matter, but they show, just good or bad. Good is higher.
Right.
209 to 208. So basically statistically even there, Mississippi and New Mexico on reading. And that was, you know, where things stood. And then Mississippi started implementing through the legislature. So they stuck. You know, a governor can come and go after 8 years or 4 years, but the legislature, once they pass it into law, it shows a commitment and it shows staying power for these reforms. And so they implemented what we just talked about in investment in early reading and the way third grade social promotion.
And though the governors come and go, like you said, again, watching results from the election, one of the things that was mentioned was, incumbents in local politics and nationwide in the House of Representatives and Senate, often, unless they've exited the position, it's awfully hard to overcome an incumbent. And once the state is headed in a direction and incumbents are being reelected, you know, it's hard to turn the ship.
Absolutely. And in New Mexico, we do have term limits on governors. In some states, they have term limits on their legislators, which, again, the people in charge in New Mexico will not go for that. I wish they would, but, there are districts in New Mexico in the legislature that are so safe that people don't really ever have any serious opposition. And it's, that's a separate issue, but the legislature makes the laws in New Mexico, and the legislature has been of one party, the Democrat Party, since 1930. And, they refuse to, change their approach to education with this focus on early childhood. And so now, fast forward from being practically tied in 2011, right, just over a decade ago, now Mississippi is at 216. Even after the pandemic, after results fell, we are at 202.
Was the falling pretty universal? I'm going to guess during COVID, everyone saw that dip.
Well, you look at, so just Mississippi went from 219 to 216. That's 3 points. That's not great, but it's not terrible. And that didn't wipe out any gains in Mississippi from 2017 or before. New Mexico was at 208 in 2019 before the pandemic. So already 11-point gap. We dropped 6 points further to 202. So now we're at 14-point gap, 216 to 202 between Mississippi with 216, New Mexico at 202. And we've gone below anything since 2009. So to answer your question, as I said earlier, New Mexico kids were disproportionately impacted by COVID and the COVID lockdowns because partially broadband, partially families, family structure. Most states saw declines, and let's put it this way. There was correlation, as I see it, as I have analyzed it, between states that locked down longer and states that did not lock down as long. It was not a slam dunk case that locking down had a much, much worse impact and staying open had a much, much better impact. There were states that seemingly did a good job with online learning, Hawaii being one of those states, just to pick a random but very notable state that was locked down for a very long time, but actually didn't see the children lose tremendously on the academic side of things. But I knew going in, New Mexico was going to be one of those states that was going to lose a lot.
Okay. Well, we've got some other things we're going to cover. We're actually maybe a little early for the break, but probably a good place to break in. Unless, Paul, you have a more comparison between the Mississippi scores in New Mexico.
No, it's available at heirsofenchantment.com. It's the second post down, and folks can go check that out. They can listen to a podcast I did with somebody from Mississippi who deals with public policy in that state, who explained what Mississippi did to improve their results, because that's a lot of what we do. I wish I was able to tell you, Steve, that we reinvented the wheel every time at the Rio Grande Foundation. No, a lot of times what we do is look out for states that are doing things and moving in the right direction. And, Mississippi is one of those states that has a lot in common with New Mexico. We could talk about Arizona and Utah and Colorado and Texas, but those states are, crushing us so bad on education that we feel like going out and looking at states that haven't done the reforms or have done the reforms but haven't got a high socioeconomic level and education level is a better approach. And, you know, Mississippi, for a lot of reasons, fits that bill. And unfortunately for us, Mississippi's moving the needle, and we're not.
Yeah, well, before we go to a break, let me leave that segment with this prognostication. You ready, Paul?
I'm ready.
You watch Mississippi now after the pandemic. God willing, they stay with whatever program they've been working on, and they'll continue to move up in scores. And since it seems like New Mexico, whether those serving or those voting for those who are serving, are okay with the status quo, we're probably, you know, prognosticate that we're going to stick there or drop lower down the totem pole. But hey,
we can't go any lower on the totem pole unless we start bringing Guam and Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands into the discussion.
All right, well, we'll be back with more after the break on ABQ Connect.
I'm Kelly, your teacher's assistant for Bible School of the Air. The Bible and the information contained within is of primary importance and deserves our undivided attention. With all of the bad news, fake news, and biased news we consume on a daily basis, it's critical for us to consume the good news that only comes from the pages of Scripture. In addition to the daily lineup of quality Bible teachers heard on KLYT, we also purpose to create an atmosphere of learning while growing in our relationship with God. Each Saturday, starting at noon, KLYT provides verse-by-verse teaching from Chuck Smith, Chuck Misler, and Skip Heitzig. Classes wrap up in final during a Q&A session with Scott Richards. I'll look forward to you joining me Saturdays from noon to 4 during Bible School of the Air here on KLYT. It's tuition-free. Every week is a great week to start. You'll be glad you did.
A portion of the programming heard on KLYT is underwritten by a gift from David and Carol Beth Stewart of Black Bear Medicare. David and Carol Beth are both licensed, independent Medicare brokers and advisors providing no-cost consultation to educate those making decisions about Medicare plans and to clarify Medicare information seen on TV and in the mail. Black Bear Medicare, 505-363-9191. BlackBearMedicare.com, 363-9191.
Here's Joy Junction CEO, Alma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless men, women, and children for 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have our new additional rooms and a separate space for single men and single women. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org.
Jesus paid it all. That's an unforgettable truth. Listen to what Skip Heitzig has to say in this hotspot.
So we are his because he made us, but now he tells us that we are his because he bought us. He purchased us.
Hotspot. Why try to pay for the bill of sin when Jesus has paid it all?
You're his, you belong to him, and he completes you.
Look for a number of Bible reading plans by Skip on the YouVersion app. Now, lean in and listen as Skip closes out this hotspot.
Please don't buy into the stupid, lame, worldly philosophy. Yeah, well, you know, it's good to have Jesus. He's sort of a good spoke in your wheel. Good to add a little religion on the side. No, he is everything. He is all in all. That in all things he might have the supremacy. You're his because he made you. You're his because he bought you. He bought you.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There is still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
All right. Well, welcome back into the discussion on ABQ Connect. Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation is in studio. Another reminder, a lot of what we're talking about, almost verbatim, is available on the website at riograndefoundation.org and errorsofenchantment.com. Paul, a sneak peek at what they might see there in the coming days?
Oh, well, yeah, I have to create a little more analysis on the election that I want to put up and a path forward. You know, that's the critical thing is where do we go now?
Yeah.
And, you know, something that we're going to look at is another think tank organization, one that we often work with, sometimes disagree with. Think New Mexico has put out a their own roadmap for rethinking public education, and we want to look at these other proposals from different organizations, especially ones that we know are well-intended, and Think New Mexico is a group that has a lot of respect, and we have a lot of respect for them. And so I'm going to do a little bit of an analysis of their education plan. And, you know, spoiler alert, it's generally moving in the right direction, something that we want to see as well. So, those are a few things I'll be talking about in the next few days.
All right. Well, to dot the I and cross the T on our conversation today about education, New Mexico has thrown a lot of money at education. And we've even been told by politicians, I believe it was a politician who recently said, we've got more money than we can spend.
Yep.
Now after the election, correct me if I'm not understanding this correctly, but voting yes on, was it Amendment 1?
Amendment 1.
We'll see even now more money thrown at education, which kind of lends itself, in my opinion, if you're looking at just facts, to what we talked about earlier, the definition of insanity.
Yeah, so this was one that had been talked about for years because politicians in the legislature, Democrats, had been pushing very hard for access to one of what are called our permanent funds in New Mexico. These are funds that were set up with oil and gas money predominantly. The idea was we'll have this money for the future when and if oil and gas run out. And they show no signs of running out. Quite frankly, I think the concept behind these permanent funds was not a great concept, but and the accountability for these funds, now that voters have made the decision overwhelmingly to go ahead and tap into that permanent fund to create this new pre-K and early childhood program, it's going to be next to impossible to take that money back, say, hey, you're not doing a good job, we're going to pull this money back. Or maybe we see that those dollars aren't having the results that we wanted, and again, changing policy and doing something different is going to be very, very difficult because it's now embedded in the state constitution.
And I forget if it was with you or with Carla Sontag, we were talking about the amendments, and look at it closely, because like you just said, Paul, it's not easy to rewind.
No.
Once you've passed an amendment, and I'm not saying how people should have voted or what they should have done. However, I mean, the way I was raised was to look at it closely, because typically, the Bill of Rights, you know, the Constitution of the United States or your state's constitution, typically they was very well thought through. And they did a pretty good job of setting it up originally. There's other ways other than amendments to make things like this happen.
Yeah, and we do have a $2.5 billion surplus or thereabouts looming as we head into 2023, which is hard to believe. It's already 2023, but that's the reality we're living in. And the post I have at Heirs of Enchantment to really put a bow on this conversation about education in New Mexico is, in 2012, the state started spending $131 million on early childhood pre-K programs for 0 to 5-year-olds. These are federal and state dollars. And, that ramped up 2013, 14, and so on. So, I mean, 2012 is over a decade ago now. And we don't have any firm studies from the legislature or any other body in New Mexico confirming that the kids who went through these programs are better prepared than their peers who didn't go through those programs. And this is the kind of thing that frustrates us, because it should be something that the voters say, hey, before I vote yes on this, what kind of data do we have here in New Mexico that this actually works? Because some other studies around the country show that it doesn't work. And Tennessee is one where they showed that it actually had harm. It inflicted harm upon those kids, because you're taking 3- and 4-year-olds out of their house, out of their mother's arms, and putting them into an institutional academic setting. So anyway, obviously voters voted for this program. And we're going to spend even more money on pre-K and early childhood. I'm not saying all of that money is going to be wasted, but I have deep suspicions that in the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years, given the trajectory we're on, we're going to be sitting here, or your future robot replacement or mine, about this issue, and we'll be saying, you know, unfortunately, New Mexico's right back where we were, or even worse. You know, we have a ways to go just to get back into where we were a few years ago based on the NAEP test. And, you know, again, if these dollars were positively impacting educational outcomes in New Mexico, we should have some evidence by now. We're talking about programs targeted at 0 to 5 year olds starting in 2012. Where was the evidence? And unfortunately, for a variety of reasons, that's just not a question that was asked or even debated in the state of New Mexico, but that's the way it goes.
Well, and that will put the bow on our discussion on education. And Paul, you sent prior to the show a couple of different topics, and I'm actually going to throw it to you because we've got about 3 minutes, and I want you to be as effective as you can to touch on both of these, one on recycling and the other on political appointees.
Yeah, so on the recycling, we have a program in Albuquerque. We get those blue bins delivered to our house. They have big, heavy trucks come and pick them up. It is a significant undertaking to collect that recycling from your houses and from businesses across the city. Greenpeace put out a report just a few weeks ago saying that only 5% of household plastics are recycled. Now, there's different policy approaches to addressing that, but I would say that the city of Albuquerque and other cities across the nation should consider, rather than recycling plastics, focus attention on things that we know will be recycled, such as aluminum cans, such as paperboard and cardboard, other things that can actually be sold for a profit. And this all gets back to economics 101. The price of aluminum is about 44 cents a pound right now. This plastic, when China said we don't want it anymore, it suddenly increased the price of our recycling program in Albuquerque by 900%, according to the city itself. And that resulted in higher fees. And it's also resulted in very limited success in recycling those plastics. So I would like to see a different approach where market forces may not drive everything, because recycling may not be driven by market forces, may be driven by environmental forces. But we still need to respect and adhere to those and do an educational campaign to focus on what actually can be recycled.
Okay, in about a minute and a half, the heading for the blog that you wrote on Errors of Enchantment says, Merrick Keller massively pads the city payroll with political appointees. What's that about?
Yeah, this was posted on October 28th, so it's a recent story, but a little older. But it's there was an audit done of the city of Albuquerque and the hiring practices under this administration, and they found that unclassified, those are political appointees, the number of them rose basically double from the time Keller took office. And even more problematic is half the jobs reviewed lack job descriptions.
Yeah.
Some high-level workers were getting massive raises between 22 and 368%.
I want that job.
Without documented justification or changed job responsibilities. So a lot of these cush jobs at the city of Albuquerque are being handed out. And, you know, the next big thing on our agenda is, of course, the legislative session. Starting in January, in 60-day session. But we have elections again next November. We have city council again. We have school board. And there's always another election in New Mexico. And I think, you know, unfortunately, the mayor's not on the ballot. But polling results in the Albuquerque Journal show he is not particularly popular. And I think this is one of those reasons, this kind of decision making.
And Paul, my ignorance showing, FY is fiscal year,
yes,
right? Okay.
Correct.
And this is not only Mayor Keller's issue. It's something that probably needs to be addressed for not only now, but in the future as well. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us, Paul, ABQ Connect. Can we do this next month?
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow, 1 o'clock, ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.